how new tariffs will affect the energy industry. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. President Trump is scheduled to visit Louisiana today. He'll tour a new liquefied natural gas facility and is expected to applaud the industry for adding jobs and boosting energy exports. This comes as China said yesterday it would raise its tariffs on U.S. LNG from 10% to 25%. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on what those higher tariffs mean for the industry.
The U.S. has been exporting less liquefied natural gas to China since Beijing tacked on tariffs to the product last year. Nico Safos with the Center for Strategic and International Studies says that hasn't hurt the industry much because
more or less everyone has signed up to buy LNG from the United States except the Chinese.
Total U.S. LNG sales jumped 61% in 2018 compared to the previous year. Ken Medlock at Rice University says a 25% LNG tariff sounds bad, but U.S. exporters do have ways of getting around tariffs.
Maybe you'll see U.S. LNG cargo land in Japan or South Korea, and then a cargo that was originally destined for one of those locations landing in China.
Meaning the U.S. doesn't need to sell directly to China right now. But one day it might, says Steve Gabriel at the University of Maryland.
You know, everything China does is an order of magnitude bigger than a lot of other places. They sort of drive the market.
He says eventually U.S. exporters will need the Chinese market to sustain growth. So a prolonged trade war might eventually do real harm. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Trade war concerns had Asian markets closing down this morning. Japan's Nikkei was down almost 0.6%. The Shanghai Composite Index was down 0.7%. The FTSE in London is up this morning at 0.9%. And the Dow, S&P and NASDAQ futures are up as well in the 0.6% to 1% range, with the Dow futures up 161 points. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that iPhone users could sue Apple over how it operates the App Store. Apple takes a 30% cut of anything you buy through an app on your iPhone or iPad. Users argue that artificially raises prices for them. Apple said only developers should have the right to sue, but the court said that interpretation is too narrow. Marketplace tech host Molly Wood says this decision could impact the antitrust conversation about big tech companies.
One reason that people often say current antitrust law isn't enough to deal with something like Facebook is because it really depends on this consumer welfare measurement. Basically, that is interpreted as, did prices go up? That's a hard argument to make with a free product like Facebook or Google, or one where the consumer harm is kind of hard to understand, like political manipulation. But this ruling is a pretty straightforward determination that consumers could have been harmed by these practices, in the form of high prices. And it might open the door for similar arguments against, say, Google or Amazon, which sell digital and physical goods through these third-party sellers. And people are interpreting it as a real step toward curbing big tech companies.
That's Marketplace Tech's Molly Wood.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
From time to time, we check in with an ongoing national survey of millennials that pays special attention to how race and ethnicity shape respondents' experiences. University of Chicago political science professor Kathy Cohen is the founder of this Gen Forward survey. Her latest results looked at millennials' economic lives. Good morning.
Good morning.
What jumped out at you the most?
Both the kind of optimism of this group and also the cautiousness. Generally, they believe they'll find a job that allows for a comfortable life. They also believe to some degree that they'll have a better life than their parents or the previous generation. But they also have some real skepticism and want some real protections. And what I mean by that is they're looking for an active state. So they support the idea, for example, of taxing the wealthy, the billionaires and millionaires, to provide for money to retrain workers. They believe that the government, for example, has an obligation to workers who are displaced by technology.
What did you find that millennials value when they're looking for a new job?
If you ask, what do you value? They will tell you, we value a flexible work schedule. I think we found that across race and ethnicity, as well as party ID. Young African Americans are more likely to value diversity. But when asked in general, when we gave them a long list and said, what are the priorities that you focus on when deciding to take a job? At the top was salary, and number two were benefits.
You also asked in the survey about whether millennials prefer the gig economy or a career. And there's sort of this narrative that millennials prefer to do gig work. Is that true?
Yeah, I think this is another myth buster, so to speak. Young people say that if given the choice between kind of participating in the gig economy or having one long career, they prefer one long career. Now, really only about up to maybe a third of young adults say that their current job is a career. So I think they're, you know, they are forced because of the structure of the economy to take job after job, thus the gig economy. But if given a choice, they'd like the idea of having kind of a stable salary and benefits and one long career.
Kathy Cohen is the founder of the Gen Forward Survey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our producers are Victoria Craig, Michael Lipkin, Candice Manriquez-Wren, Daniel Shin, and Sasha Woodruff. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.